Okay. I'm not sure I need this, but it's been requested. So if it's here, why not? First of all, welcome everybody. It's wonderful to see old faces, young faces, old friends, new friends. It's always wonderful to be... Please, the source sheets are going round. They're not here. Someone's sitting on a pile of them. It's, of course, for me particularly wonderful to be at Nair because this was 30 years ago and plus where Sarah and I started, and we were very involved and have only wonderful, wonderful memories of that time. But we're not here to reminisce and talk about nostalgia. We're here to talk about a different topic. I picked this topic. It's by far the most difficult share of the day that I'm giving, honestly. It's not something that we can cover, obviously, in 45 minutes. And I want to give you more of an overview and discuss with you perhaps some of the pressures and different forces that have come to play in Israel over the last 18 months with young women, specifically the women I obviously interact with are English speakers, often in midrashot, in seminaries, women who have been deeply impacted by the war. Almost entirely, every single one of them have been impacted in a way that they feel an enormous need to contribute, to be part of it, to be part of Jewish history unfolding in front of them. Their brothers and their cousins are in the army doing things which are obviously very difficult but are incredibly impressive, and they very much want to be part of that. It's not in any sense that I've seen coming from why can't I do that if I'm a woman, if they do that. It's not coming from that at all. It's coming from this deep sense, at least with the people I've interacted with, that they really want to be part of what's going on. This is happening in many different institutions. I've been connected over the past few years with Midrashot, I'm not going to name specific names, but some of them are really considered a little bit right of center, whatever you feel that means. And nevertheless, these women have been coming forward and saying, I need to join the IDF. What's almost always happening is that those women are being told by their rabbinic advisors that it's not right for them to join the IDF, and that's advice that I would often give myself. Obviously, it depends on the person we'll talk about that. But what's usually happening is they're being told that there's no real halachic justification for them doing what they're intending to do. But they do it anyway, because we have a young generation now, which is very interesting, which is wants to be religiously authentic, wants to be halachically consistent, but is not necessarily interested in listening to a psak that they don't agree with, which is actually a very interesting phenomenon. I'm not saying that's everybody all of the time, but people develop a different kind of approach to religious authenticity over the years. Maybe the way I would have dealt with it 20 years ago is not the way they deal with it. So these women are almost always going to the IDF, whatever you say to them, and often making bad decisions as to where to go and what to do, and decisions they sometimes later regret. So let's go through some of these issues. And I just actually had a very interesting conversation with Rav Rimon just here in the I don't know what you call it, the teacher's room, where we have our coffee and things like that, which is ironic because I live like 2 minutes away from him in Alon Shvud, and of course he's always running around doing a million things, and the time that I can get with him is sitting here in Hendon, which is great. But we had an interesting chat, and I'll share some of his ideas as well. So we're just going to look at some of the halachic issues. It's not all of the halachic issues, and really, it's not the halachic issues and the sources which are driving this conversation. That's very important to say. Just like the issue of the Haredi draft and all that goes into that whole discussion, you can give a shiur about all the Makarot and all the sources, which I did. I've got 2 shiurim online, if you're interested in that, with about 100 sources. And at the end of the day, it's not really about the sources. It's about the sociology, it's about the religious feeling, it's about a million other things which are very important. But here too, lots of sources, but it's not just about the sources. So let me start by saying, the vast majority of poskim that you will speak to, certainly in the Haredi world, probably 100%, but also in the Datsunami religious Zionist world, are opposed on halachic and hashkafic grounds in principle to religious women serving in the army. To all women serving in the army, but certainly to religious women, dati, observant women who are coming to speak to them, to ask them, they will almost always be told that this is not appropriate. Certainly in the case of combat, and most religious women who are coming to ask about joining the army are not asking to join to go to combat, but a significant rising number are. But the answer they will receive from almost all poskim is that it is not correct. And that's a black and white answer. And I brought you here from, obviously I don't need to bring you posting from the Haredi world. It's I could have a list as long as, you know, whatever you want. But in the Datulumi world, it's pretty standard. I brought you the names here, even names which are considered to be on the quote-unquote left of the world. Rav Melamed, Rav Eliezer Melamed, Rav Shurlo, Rav Nachum Rabinowitz, and many, many others are in principle opposed on, in most cases, to women joining the IDF and certainly joining a combat unit. And we'll talk about why that is. And usually Shirut Lumi is given as an option, and we'll talk a little bit about Shirut Lumi, how that can actually be a more direct assistance to the country in many respects than serving in the IDF. There are lots and lots of roles that one can play. But the halakhic answer is pretty across the board the same. Historically, of course, this was an issue in the 1950s, 40s and 50s, where there was a discussion about compulsory draft for all women, including religious women. This was a Yahareg Ba'al Ya'avor. This was under no circumstances. The Haredi Rabbonim and many others, including the chief rabbi, Rav Herzog, Rav Uziel, said under no circumstances can there be compulsory draft for religious women. That was pretty much agreed to across the board. It was seen as what's Gezeirat Shmad. This is completely unacceptable. And that remains in place. Although I do think, and this is just my opinion, you can take it or leave it, that a lot of the unhappiness with the discussion with the Haredi draft and the feeling that there's a lot of politics involved, which there is, and a lot of hashkafa involved, which there is, has conflated these issues. And so I think a lot of women are saying, well, you know, this is not really a halachic issue, this is a political issue, this is a hashkafic issue, and I'm not sure that they are the same, those two issues, and there is still a significant halachic issue going on. However, the real Lamaisa, what's happening on the ground is more and more women are joining. And I brought you some statistics here. In 2010, the total number drafting of religious observant women was only around 930. Today, it's around 3,500. That's a massive increase, given the fact that these are Dati women who are all being told that it's prohibited to go to the army, pretty much. Which is very interesting. Not all, but many of them being told that. Therefore, it's a reality. Around 10% of those women are actually going to combat. And this has been increased by a lot of the things happening over the last 18 months as well. Let's have a look at some of the sources, and then I want to make sure that we have time to discuss some of the practical issues. So I started off, I gave you a little bit of an overview in A about whether we find women involved in combat or in war in the Tanakh. And the answer is that the army, the Jewish army, is conscripted from the men. That's very clear. I brought you source 1 and source 2. It's clearly the men, the Anashim, that are coming. Kol Zachar Legugul Otam. Every male is being drafted. The women are not being drafted. In the conquest of Eretz Israel, I brought you in number 3, the famous conversation with B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven. And they said, V'yomer B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven. El Moshe Limor. Avadecha Yasu Kashe Adoni Mitzaveh. We are going to go over and fight. And what are the women going to do? Tapenu V'nashenu Miknenu V'chol Be'entenu Yiyu Sham Ba'arei Hagilad. Our women will be staying behind. They will be keeping the home front going. And in that sense, there was not even a suggestion that the women should be drafted into the army. Now, is that a halachic source? Not really, but one of the questions that we're going to be asking ourselves is, where are the halachic sources for these modern-day wartime scenarios? You can't just look this up in the Shulchan Aruch. It's not there. The Hilchot Milchama are not written in the classical places, but it's clear from the Tanakh at the beginning, at least, that women were not combatants. However, women were protagonists, and I brought you here on page 2. We find many, many women who are crucially responsible of turning the course of the war. Many names come to mind, of course, Devorah, who is an inspirational war leader, although very much critiques Barak for putting her in that central role and says, well, if you give it over to a woman, then it'll be women that finish the job. And indeed it was Devorah, and of course Yael, although there is a very interesting discussion about the fact that Yael kills Sisera with an unconventional weapon. Let's put it this way. She doesn't pick up a sword and chop his head off. She does it with a tent peg. We have a daughter, a wonderful girl called Yael, who we've always been nervous about going camping with. Actually, she's probably more into glamping than camping. Nevertheless, the story of Yehudit and Holofernes,
which is mirrored on Yael, although there, of course, she does cut his head off with a sword, interestingly. And also, of course, the woman in Shoftim, in Tebetz, who throws the grindstone down. Interesting, she uses something for food preparation, throws it off a tower, lands on Avimelech, kills him, and of course he turns around to his aide and says, put a sword through me so no one will say that a woman killed me, because it was considered to be the total bouchard embarrassment that it would have been the case. But women were involved. Women were, of course, spies. Think of Rachav, think of the Isha Chachama in Shmuel negotiating with Yoav. So women have definitely played a role, but not classically as soldiers, as takers of life. And I brought you a note here which is important. And there's a footnote here to someone from Sahali, Rabbanit Michal Nagen, who runs an organization called Sahali, which gives support to Israeli datiot, religious women who are going to the army. She stresses that when women go to the army, it is to be savers of lives and protectors of lives and givers of lives rather than takers of lives, and that should define their role in the army. And there's a lot more to be said about that. So even where the women are going to the army, they are being encouraged to take a different perspective on that. Again, don't have time for that more, but you can go on Sally's website and see how that works. Now, the actual more Talmudic and halachic discussion starts in number 4. There is a pasuk where they announce to the army that anyone who is scared can go home. Hayarei v'yarat v'rach ha-levav. And the question is, what does that mean, someone who is scared? So have a look in source number 5. I'm not used to giving a shir holding a microphone. This is a whole new skill set that I'm acquiring here. Okay, fine. And so look at number 5. So the shotrim, the police, the army police, the military police say to the nation, okay, who is scared? Anyone who's scared goes home. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Hayarei v'rach levav, k'mashmao, it means literally anyone who is scared, she'en yachol la'amod b'kishrei milchama, anyone who can't take the stress and the strain and the death of war, b'lirot cherev shlufa, and to see the killing. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, Hayarei v'rach levav, zehu omet yirei al min ha'averot shel yadon. And Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, no, it's not someone who's scared of war, it's someone who's scared of whether they have enough merit to survive the war, they're scared of their own past, their own averus, etc. But that's not what we're really focusing on. Because the Gemara, the Mishnah rather, at the end of Sota here says, "Bema dvarim amurim." When is this whole discussion of who goes and who doesn't go? Who stays and who goes home? B'milchemet ha'rashut. In a war which is not a compulsory war, in a war which is an optional war, a war where the kings of Israel would expand the land of Israel for long-term benefit. Again, wars these days, though, tend to work as milchemet rashut. We'll see that soon. However, aval b'milchemet mitzvah hakol yotzim. And this is what's usually quoted. Everybody goes to war. Hakol. Everybody goes out. Afilu chatan michedro v'kala michupata. And that's the line from Yoel, from Sefer Yoel. Even the chatan is pulled away from his tish, and the kala is pulled out from the chupah and sent off to war. Okay, so is this literal? Is this a halachic source that women are being drafted into war? And if so, what are they being drafted into? What are they being pulled off to do, etc.? We'll talk about that. Elsewhere, Chazal say number 6, Darko shel ish la'asot milchama. It's the derech of men to fight wars. Ve'ein darka shel isha la'asot milchama. But it's not the derech of women to fight wars. Again, what does that mean? Is that just describing a reality in the ancient world? Women were not in armies. It's a man's thing to do. What happens today when women are in armies? Now, the IDF were in some senses ahead of the curve on this, and they drafted women before most Western armies. But now if you go around the British army, the French army, the Italian army, I think the Italians still have an army, they have women in the army. They have women drafted in combat roles. There are 4-star generals in the American army who are women, who are in charge of the Navy, in charge of the army, which is the highest rank you can have in peacetime. So clearly we do have women represented in world armies today. So do we still say that it's the derech or not the derech? So we'll see some of them of fortune right now. So turn to page 3, please. The Rambam paskens this apparently directly. And he says here in Hilchot Melachim, in number 7, when do we say that women, the people are exempt, these ones go home, these ones go home? Shemakzinim anashim, nashim elu me'orchem milchama. When do we send people home? B'milchemet ha'roshut. Aval b'milchemet mitzvah hakol yotzim afilu chata michedro v'kala michupata. He quotes the Mishnah directly, that the kala is even brought off from the chupa. So
I brought you a number of Mephoroshim. I'm not going to go through each one line by line. The Torah Tamima here in number 8 says, oh, no, this is not a halachic statement. This is more of a midrashic statement that the based on the pasuk in Yoel. If you look at the original pasuk in Yoel, it's talking about calling everybody out into the streets to fast, to campaign, to be together, to daven, to do tshuva. It's not really talking about a real war scenario. So the Torah Tamima says this is more stylistic, it's more poetic, etc. Okay, you could say that maybe about the Mishnah. It's a bit hard to say that about the Rambam in Halacha. Oh, the Rambam is poetic. No, I assure you, the Rambam is not poetic. Okay? But that's how he wants to understand it. But the Radvaz is very interesting. Let's have a look at the Radvaz. The Radvaz on the Rambam there says, number 9, Brayta Kalashon Rabbeinu. He's saying the Rambam is quoting a Brayta, which we just saw the Sotah in Sotah. Ela the Kasha, but I have a problem. Is it the way of women to go to war? What can this mean? We know elsewhere it's not the derech of women to go to war. The haktiv, kol kvuda bat melech penima. We'll have to look at this in a minute. That the honor, the dignity of a woman is inside, not outside. And we're going to have to see, well, what kind of a, is that a halachic principle? Do we apply that principle anywhere else in life when women are CEOs and in charge of many areas of life? So we'll see how that applies, but he brings that here. And therefore he gives an interesting answer. The yesh loimer dehachikama. This is what the Rambam means. Kivan the chatan yotzei michedra, since the chatan has been pulled out to the front line, and the tzareinu we see this, men at the chupot being pulled away to go to fight in the Israeli army. Kala yotzei michupata. So then, of course, the kala leaves. Why? She'enu noeged yimei chupa, because they're not having a chupa anymore. Meaning, why are we taking the kala from the chupa? Because she's on her own, so she goes home, and they'll have to do the wedding another time. But he doesn't really like that answer. The Efsha de Milchemit Mitzvah, it could be that in the Milchemit Mitzvah, the women do have a role. And Hashim Hayum Sapkot Mayim Umazon Leba'alehem. They play support roles. They have to go and bring food to their husbands. Only their husbands? What about other people's husbands? Other men? V'cheina midak hayom ba'araviyot. And he says, and that's what the Arab women do these days. That's very interesting. Could do a PhD on this. Arab women military involvement in 15th century Ottoman Egypt or whatever it is. So it probably was pre-Ottoman at that stage. But he says maybe it's a support role of that nature. And other people pick up on that. Have a look at number 10. The Rashash says, Masra shigam nashim yotzed l'milchama. It sounds like women do go to war. The chidushu, and it's this is a novel idea. V'ulai einam yotzed ela la'afot. Maybe they go to bake. Levashel and to cook, ukedomi letzorich hagvarim va'anshei milchama. There it's not just their husbands. Maybe they play a support role in supporting the army in other ways generally, but he still focuses on the food. But if you look at the Tiferet Yisrael in number 11, Isha lav bat milchama. Women don't go out to fight, he says. Rak lesapek mazon uletaken hadrachim af ki yotzeh. But they go out letaken drachim. Oh, now the women are sappers. Engineering corps, it's a little bit of a different role which he envisaged. So all of these explanations are rejected by Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook. Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook, which we need to see in a couple of minutes, says, look, this is not the Pashuk Pshat in the Rambam. He says that they go out to war. Everyone's trying to interpret, well, it means this kind of war, that kind of war, this kind of support, that kind of support. That's not to say that Rav Tzvi Yehuda was in favor of women joining the IDF in every capacity. We'll see that in a few minutes. But he does say that the Rambam says it, and you can't ignore the Rambam. Rav Shaul Yisraeli, look in the top of page 4. I want to go more into sources you may not have seen as much. Rav Shaul Yisraeli, who was the founder and the leading posek in Eretz Chanda, a phenomenal posek, a major, major halachic mind, he says as follows. Don't ask that, well, why isn't it osser to send women to war? Why isn't it prohibited? Excuse me. He says the Radvaz is not asking from a prohibition. He's saying it's not the normal way that women behave is to go out to war. He's not saying it's prohibited in this way. He's saying it's not normal. Kalama she'enu yuchola. She's not able, she's not trained. La'asot milchama. The loita hei tip arta. It won't be appropriate for her, dignified for her. Aderek zo.
ולזהו מביא הכתוב שפרשו שכבודו ותפרצה של האישה אין יכולים להתבלט בשדה הקרב. And therefore it's saying that women's qualities, women's skill set will not be demonstrated on the battlefield. אלא בבית בית פנימה, they will be inside. Meaning he's saying this is not, we're not dealing with heter and isur, isur heter here. We're dealing with where are people most able to apply their skill set. And again, he's not arguing that therefore it's fine for women to do anything they want. He's saying don't read these sources as black and white, yes and no sources. They're not that kind of halakha. It's not like you drop milk in your chicken soup. It's not that kind of shiloh. It's much more broad. We have to work out what's going on. The Sefer HaChinuch, we could have a whole shir on. It's not clear what the Sefer HaChinuch says on this. Let's assume he goes like the Rambam, but you can look that up. Online, I have two source sheets with like 50 sources in each one on this topic. So yeah, I think I even put a link in at the beginning, so you can go look that there. I don't have time for now. But I want to actually look a little bit with you at Rav Goren and Rav Tzvi Yehuda. Because most poskim have ruled that the wars that Israel has been fighting in the last 75 years are Milchemet Mitzvah. It's not completely clear. It's not 100% clear. And if you argue with anyone who's arguing the Haredi draft position that they should be exempt from the army, you will immediately encounter, well, this is not really a Milchemet Mitzvah. And I'm not prepared to have that argument here. I don't think it's even that relevant, because even if it's not a Milchemet Mitzvah, which almost everybody says it is, it would still be obligatory on the Haredi world to send a number of men to the draft. But that's not for now, and they're certainly not looking for my opinion on that. But let's assume it's a Milchemet Mitzvah, because the Rambam defines Milchemet Mitzvah is that any war which is needed, looking at number 14, I've underlined here, the Ezrat Yisrael Miyad Sar Sheba Alehem, to save the Jewish people from an enemy that has fallen on them, and that's clearly what we are dealing with today. And therefore, as I said, almost every posik, including across not only in the Datilumi world, but also in the Haredi world, many posikim have clearly defined this as Milchemet Mitzvah. So have a look at Rav Goren and Rav Kook, number 15 and 16. So it says Rav Goren, Milchemet Mitzvah, Heina chova mekudeshet min haTorah. Milchemet Mitzvah is a holy obligation in the Torah. A mitzvah al ha'am lelo yotzeh min haklal. The mitzvah is on the nation without any exceptions. Limsor et nafsho, to give of themselves. Lema'an hasagat matrata shel ha'milchama. That's very important. What is it that I can do in order to most help the war effort? He's not saying that everyone has to join the army. He's saying everyone in the country has to do the very best that they can do to help the country to win the war. We can't think about the sacrifices that will need to be made. That cannot stop us. This war will bring sacrifices, no question. Ein od mitzvah acheret. There is no other mitzvah, he says. Asher bekocha lidchot et kol ha-mitzvot shel ha-Torah, which pushes off every single other mitzvah in the Torah, kolel mitzvah pikuach nefesh. Obviously, you can't claim, well, it's pikuach nefesh, looks like it's a dangerous deal, I don't have to go. Obviously, pikuach nefesh is completely pushed aside for milchemet mitzvah. Kamo milchemet ha-lechima b'milchemet mitzvah. Mitzvah lechima b'milchemet mitzvah, chova mekudeshet ha-kol yachid, limsor et nafsho, to give of themselves. You can't have any excuses. You can't just sit by and let it happen. You have to give whatever you can give. Now, again, what does that mean? It means that women have to be part of the war effort. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they have to be on the front lines. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Have a look in Rav Kook. Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook says in number 16, Milchemet mitzvah hi achat mitaryaga mitzvot. Which is interesting in of itself. Fighting Milchemet mitzvah is one of the 613. Asher kulam chayavim ba. And everybody has to do it. Afilu chatan mechedro v'kala mechipota. Kelashon ha-Mishnah. Just like the Mishnah says. V'gam nashim shaychot le-milchemet mitzvah. Women are relevant to Milchemet mitzvah. Kamo she'ir al-kach ha-milchat chinuch. And we didn't get a chance to see the milchat chinuch. That's the conversation about the Sefer HaChinuch, which I'm not able to have today. Lashon Rambam kelashon Mishnah. The Rambam follows the Mishnah's lead. Matzavnu achshav. Our situation, he says now, mugdar kemilchemet mitzvah, is a milchemet mitzvah. Hein ledata Ramban, whether you follow the Ramban, behiyota milchemet kibush haaretz, hein ledata Ramban, behiyota Ezrat Yisrael miyad tsar. And there's no question the current war is clearly a war after an attack to protect the people. Hanimshechet mitzivui hatara lelo tamul dadam riecha, which is very interesting. Leave aside the issue of Milchemet Mitzvah. Lo tamod adam riecha is you may not stand by while others need you to fight. That's a general principle which is above and beyond all of this. Amnon, however, he says, and there's no one more deeply embedded in the Datsun Miwil than Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook in his day. Ishtar kolichvosh ve'ein ishadar kolichvosh. Men, that's the normal way that they fight, is they are the army, but women, not. The Radvaz wants to soften the Rambam. Maybe the women's contribution is a support role. But I don't think the Radvaz is clear. He says that. Who else says that? It's not what the Rambam says. Rambam Barur shekevanat Rambam lekol tafkidei hanuchama. It's clear that the Rambam meant that women have to be involved in whatever they need to be involved in. But then he finishes. Go over to page 5. Kachadin ba'ofen yisodei yisodei le'ikari. That's the theoretical din. That's the in principle din. That women are involved and have to contribute in whatever way they can. And I'm not sure he says about this support role qualification. However, avav. Kumuvan yesh hora'ot pratiyot. But there have to be individual considerations. It's not women as a group coming to you for advice. It's a woman, a person, saying, what should I do in the army or not in the army, in shirut lemi, etc. Lefi matzavei ha'inyanim shel nisyonot ha'machshalot ketzbetzniut. And there are many concerns of women being in the army. There are really big concerns of tzniut. We'll talk about tzniut in a minute, what that means here. Okay? Women in an army service role, there are real individual concerns, there are pitfalls, there are dangers, it's niyut, lebanot, kamit, sakana, shel, nefila, musarit. And this danger of a lowering of ethical standards involved in mixed units and women involved in the chayalim, he says that is a very serious issue. I was talking to Rav Rimon just now, and he says to me that if a woman says to him, I want to join the Israeli army, and I want to be in a combat unit, to the point that I want to be in a tank with a group of guys, and I'm not getting into here a discussion, by the way, as to whether that's good for the army, bad for the army, good for the military, bad for the military. That's a completely separate discussion I'm certainly not qualified to weigh in on. Although a lot of the arguments about, well, women would not be as effective on the battlefield, a lot of those arguments have been pushed aside a little bit, maybe even a lot, by the way that women performed on October 7th. Units that pushed back hundreds of Hamas terrorists, women in a tank on their own. So I'm not weighing in on that. I'm certainly not qualified to talk about that. And the issue as to whether combat is good physically for women themselves, or whether they're able, that's a good question, and it's all a debate. However, Rav Rimon said that he would say to a woman who wants to be sitting in a tank with a man, with men, and all that entails, and where do they go to the bathroom, and how do they, you know, deal with the whole situation of being together for days and days and days on end, he said he would tell the girl that she is endangering the security of Israel by making that decision. How so? Because the very mitzvah of tzniut is, I can recommend a book on this if anyone's interested, but you'll see in the book that the mitzvah of tzniut is framed by reference to the Jewish soldier in a Jewish army that has to maintain a kedusha in the machaneh. V'lo yira b'cha ervat davar. It says that you may not, in this situation, allow any kind of ervat davar into your army environment. You have to vaya machanecha kodesh. And therefore, the idea of being in a unit, says Rav Rimon, and I think most poskim would agree with him on this, where the very presence of the women and the men together is causing that kind of sexual tension and difficulty, which it clearly is itself exactly the opposite of what a Jewish army is meant to be. So on that, in that sense, I think that's what Rav Tzvi Yehuda is talking about as well, and there has to be a real cheshbon of that. Now, I brought you on page 5 and 6, and I'm not going to be able to go into all of the details, obviously. I'd love to have longer. There are some specific issues. What about women and weapons? A woman carrying a weapon is quoted by, in the Gemara, it's discussed as to what does it mean that a woman may not wear beged ish, and one of the opinions there, Rabbi Ben Yaakov, is that means a weapon of war. Now, what does that mean? A number of the Mephoshim say, well, the real issue here is not just the weapon, it's not objectively the weapon that's the problem, it's the mixing that's the problem. And again, this idea of not enabling men and women to be in compromising mixed positions is not some kind of modern day, you know, rabbinic chumrah or sensitivity. It's built in to the halachic system that Beged Ish, Beged Isha, is designed in many ways in order to avoid these mixing situations which become, you know, out of hand and cross boundaries. However, and there's always another side, when the Rambam comes in and discusses this, he says, "V'hakol k'minag ha-medina." That on all of these issues, it depends on the minag. It depends on what men and women actually do. What's defined as women's clothing, men's clothing, women's behavior, men's behavior, men's haircuts, you know, women's weapons, men's weapons, is very subjective. The mixing issue may not be so subjective, but the weapon issue is subjective, and therefore you have this this discussion about women and weapons. But again, I will suggest to you the real issue is the issue of the mixing with the Beged Ish as well. There's no question that women are allowed to carry weapons for self-defense. I brought you on page 6 a tshuva of Rav Avadya Yosef, where he clearly says that the Gananot, he's been asked by a number of nursery school teachers who need to walk around armed in order to make sure that they are looking after their 3-year-olds. I don't think they're armed to protect them from the 3-year-olds, although sometimes one wonders. But they're looking, you know, looking, and he says there's not even a question that of course they can carry a pistol if that's what's necessary. And he just looks at the Sikkum, number 23 in the Sikkum. He says, Mutar lemorot leganot biyishuvei hasapar, people who live in the borders and places which are more exposed to terrorists, lehit amen la'achos b'neshek, they can practice, they can be carry a weapon, be'eid shmiratan al batei sefer, when they have to be there responsible for the schools, u'bilvad sheyakpidu ma'od al kol klali hatzniut be'eid imuna, but they have to always be concerned that they're not dismissing the issues of tzniut, of what that means and how they mix and how that works. Karui lebenot Yisrael, lebenot Yisrael haksherot, because that is always going to be a factor, even with the milchamet mitzvah, even with all that we've seen before. V'lo yitachdu im gever, make sure you don't have a yichud issue, im gever zar, with a strange man, b'shata imunim, etc. And just to kind of pause for a second, if you speak to any poskim that deal with young women who are asking about the army, even though most people are trying to persuade women that the army might not be the best halakhic option for all of the reasons here, there's no question that it depends very much on what the woman wants to do and what kind of person she is. It cannot be a one-size-fits-all response. And like I said at the beginning, when you're dealing with a young woman who is basically not saying, am I allowed to go to the IDF, but I intend to go to the IDF, please advise on the best way forward, then there are many poskim that we'll go into, and you can speak to them, and I don't deal with this on a daily basis, but I speak to people who do, who will, okay, well, you could do this, you could do that. You don't have to be sitting in a combat unit in a tank. You could be teaching, even if you are in a combat unit, you could be teaching, you know, men how to fire weapons. You could be working as a social worker within the unit. You could be in Modi'in, in intelligence. There are many things. There are many units which are units entirely of women, where you could be in an entirely women's atmosphere working in the army. You could be one of the Tatzpiniot, famous, unfortunately, so many of them were killed on October the 7th, but the women who sit down and look at screens, because they found that women are actually more able to sit and focus on screens and not just get like, oh, I can't do this anymore, whereas men just find it harder to do that. This is more of a women's job in the army, and therefore that is an entirely women's atmosphere. And there's the other side of the coin. If a woman comes and says, yeah, but I need to be in the army because Shirut Lumi is a poor second. National service, just it's not the contribution that I need to make. Again, it's important to ask, well, what kind of a role do you think you could play in Shirut Lumi? And Rav Rimon made the point before that at a time of war, especially when so many people are being pulled out of regular jobs in order to fight at the front, so the home front, which is weaker, needs to be strengthened by people. And in fact, there are maybe Shirut Lumi roles which are extremely vital, extremely important, just because you've got a sort of glorified idea that being in a tank or being in a unit and carrying a gun and running at the front is a greater contribution. It doesn't work that way. It's not a romanticized view of the army. You have to contribute where the best contribution can be made. And therefore, Shirut Lumi is not necessarily a second option. By the way, you can be in Shirut Lumi doing a very frontline kind of job. I have a friend whose daughter was in a Shirut Lumi job in an operations room, working with the army, sending people out to different places. And you can be in an army job in the most boring, uninspiring, you know, job standing on a... I know people, women who were drafted into the army, they thought they'd be doing this and doing that, and they end up wearing a balaclava, standing on a what's called a field box, you know, guarding, trying to make sure that the locals don't realize it's a woman, not a man. You know, it's not every job is glorious and exciting. A question, Paul?
Was any of the soldiers to be taken captive, of course?
Yes.
Is there a concern that maybe soldiers will take extra risk than women soldiers?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that question. And that goes to the kind of the combat effectiveness of women in the army and whether they influence the reactions of men in the army. There's a lot of discussion on that. You need to ask the army people and the dial moves on that. And again, the combat experience of October 7th has been shown that this is not necessarily been what people expected it to be. I don't know, but that's part of the... It's not the halachic consideration, that's more the operational consideration. So we talked about a lot of issues here. I just want to maybe say two things. One thing about kolkvud b'kinelechnima, one of the issues which has been raised is this: women have an internal... a less of a frontline role, and that's quoted in some of the classic sources. But again, I deal with this in my book. It's very much a subjective perspective called Kvuda Bat Melech Panima. You can't just wheel out called Kvuda Bat Melech Panima, say that women should be all in the house. That's not how it works. Because and many of the modern day poskim say this again. I brought you Rav Shaul Yisraeli and others. In a world where women are deeply embedded in the business world and the professional world and the medical world, it's not a reality that women are internal and men are external, and you can't therefore wield that as a blunt halachic weapon. It's almost never brought in the halacha, by the way, as a halachic principle. The Rambam brings it in situations which you honestly would never apply in the modern day world, and therefore I don't think that is that's not a persuasive argument that women should not be involved. There are other arguments which are very important. The last thing I just want to say, and we talked about tsniut. Tsniut is very important. I just want to refer you to the back page, and I put some ideas down here, which I think are very speak to me in many ways. I would also mention I want to make a plug for my son Asher, who many of you probably remember, but when you met some of you last summer, he was about 5, so he has changed since then. Rotsham, he's 30, and he actually has just started an organisation called Chelech, which means you like your strength, which is designed to help English-speaking midrasha graduates, chayalot, bodedot, lone soldiers who come to Israel and say, I want to join the army, I want to be in the army, largely being told by their rabbinic mentors, well, you shouldn't be in the army, you should be in Shirut Lumi or something, which may be the correct advice, I'm not saying it's not, but are ignoring that advice and say, well, no, I'm joined to the army and nobody's helping them. Nobody's giving them any support. Nobody's giving them any guidance. And he's, together with the army, and he's been working very hard setting this up as an organization that will give women guidance before they make that decision. Again, women who've said, I'm going to the army, whether you like it or not, then what should I do? Give women good guidance. Give women buddy systems so that they can have a connection with older women who've done that, dati women. Give a sort of a family that they're responsible, that's responsible for them, a mummy on the phone that they can call, an Israeli family, an Anglo family with their own daughters who've been in the army, that they know how it works and what they need to do, and also that can liaise with the family back in Chutz Laaretz to tell them how their daughter's doing. A WhatsApp group with key poskim on the WhatsApp group so they can answer shilas that come up. Because again, these women are very halachically punctilious. They want to ask shilas. The fact that they said, I don't care, I'm going to the army, does not mean they don't want to be religious. These are deeply committed religious women, and giving them the tools to be able to live the best life they can in the army is very much part of that. So there's a lot to be said. I can tell you more about that, but that's, I think, going to be very helpful. Again, difficult to draw the line between encouraging people to do what most posts can consider to be not the right thing to do, and on the other hand, giving them good support to do it in the best way they possibly can. I would just say a couple of last things. If you just look at page 8, and you can read this on your own, things are changing fast. The army is changing fast. There are many roles now in the army for non-direct combatants that there didn't used to be. And you don't need me to tell you what people are doing. I don't even know half of what people are doing. But obviously people are flying drones and people are doing all sorts of things that in the army that they're really in combat in a sense, but they're not at the front line. The IDF are enormously keen to encourage religious women to join the army. Why? Because they are ideal officer material. They are self-disciplined, they're well-behaved, they're mature, they're idealistic, they're focused, they're less likely to be involved in drugs, drink, or boys, and they are determined to stay and succeed in the army above all opposition. Who else would you want to be an officer in the army? And therefore, there's a lot of pressure from the army to Dafka to recruit these women. And therefore, this is why this is a big conversation. And I've brought you some of the factors just at the end here that are really that's really feeding this sense of they want to be part of that part of history that's happening in front of their eyes. In many cases, these women have teachers, religious teachers in Middelshot, who themselves were in the army. So they're already a second generation who have seen it and said, well, no, it's not just that, you know, women will come out of the army less connected. These women didn't. That doesn't mean that that's not an issue, but they've seen that. And also an understanding that sometimes in Shirut Lumi, there is less support for the lone Shirut girls. And there are also concerns of tsniut and of religious apathy growing in Shirut Lumi. It's not the answer to all questions. So it's not like Shirut Lumi good, army bad. It's not as simple as that. It depends on the job, it depends on the girl, it depends on the situation. And again, I am not the one to advise on that as a specific basis. But I just wanted to share some of those ideas with you. So yes, there are sources which definitely discourage or maybe even prohibit women from being in principle in the army, but they're not black and white. And we do have to help the women who have made that choice, maybe against the advice of their mentors, and really help them to do the best they possibly can. And this is a massively growing issue. And again, coming from an incredibly strong and positive place in these women who just want to do the best they possibly can to help Klal Yisrael, and therefore need to be helped, directed, and encouraged to do that in the best way that they can for themselves and, of course, for Klal Yisrael. So that's really what I've got time. Polly, you've been trying to ask a question.
I was
going to
say that my friend Joseph was taught how to fire and manage his negative.
Of course, absolutely. Many of the women are training the men as to how to fire the weapons. And there are things that can be done to help young women. My son was telling me that he discovered that all the skirts in army uniform were kept at one base in the middle of nowhere. And a religious soldier, a girl who wants to get a new skirt because her skirt got messed up, whatever, has to wait weeks and weeks while the bureaucracy. So Asher, the first thing he did is he said, okay, let's change the policy and have skirts in six different bases all around the place. So he just said, okay, you can do that. And they did. He's got the right attitude. They'd never listen to me. Okay, fine. I'm gonna stop there because I don't want to go into the next person's time. But I hope that was helpful in some way. It was rushed, but please listen to the shiurim online. See if I even said the same thing. I might have changed my mind since then. And I'm happy to talk more about it. Thank you so much, and wishing you all well.